Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Solar Records Radio, of course. Today is a kind of a different day for me. Of course, this is a special Wednesday edition of Old School Monday. That was music from the group Change from 1981. The name of the song is called Hold Tight. And so Hold Tight, I want you guys to check this out because the reason why I do have a special Wednesday edition, of course, I got music on the way. Don't Don't get me wrong, but I have a very special guest who's going to bless the phone lines, of course, very accomplished, and of course, former councilwoman, running for U.S. Congress, of course. I let her tell the story. It has a fascinating story. So let's, without further ado, I won't waste my time talking. We have the Honorable Ms. Jan Perry. She is on Solar Records Radio. Got her up. How are you, ma'am?
I am fine. How are you?
I am good. Again, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your schedule to hang out with us and all the listeners out there, Solar Records Radio land. You have an amazing story, but again, I can't thank you enough.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm happy to be here and happy to share my story with your listeners and just connect with people.
And definitely, that's what you definitely want to do. So not waste anybody else's time again, because again, I say this with enthusiasm. You do have an amazing story, but just briefly, just tell a little bit of just about yourself and coming to LA and having that passion for public service, but just a little bit about yourself and we'll start off there.
Well, you know, I watched my parents over the years, and they were civil rights activists and fair housing activists, and they never really left me or my sisters at home. They always took us to all of their community meetings, and inevitably, you know, we'd be in the meeting, and a lot of times they'd be in the basement of churches and places like that, or auditoriums, because at that time, black people were really getting organized across the country. I remember my parents talking about Daddy King and Martin Luther King and, you know, very well-known people always making a stop through Cleveland. And so, you know, I think a lot of what I witnessed and what I saw, my parents went to the March on Washington, and I was kind of little, so I remember being really like in awe of them, but also a little scared, because it was the first time that many people had a mask like that. And I know when they came back, my mother told me it had changed her life, and other that having, you know, giving birth to her children and going to that March on Washington had such a deep impact on her that she still talked about it even when she was almost 90 years old, about how it changed her life. So, you know, All of that, my dad was a vet, World War II veteran, and you know, went to law school at night on the GI Bill. They built their first house on the GI Bill, and you know, started off in an area in Cleveland called Glenville, and then they built a house in an area just east of Cleveland. And my dad, you know, he ran for mayor and became the first black mayor in the Reconstruction in Ohio. And then the next year, Carl Stokes became mayor of Cleveland.
Wow.
He and Carl practiced law together, and then Lou Stokes went off to Congress. So, you know, they were all in there together, all this incredible. There's a reason they called them the greatest generation. It's because they were young, and they thought that they could conquer the world. And in fact, they did save the world. They saved us, you know, World War II, so that you and I are sitting here today talking about it.
It's definitely an honor talking to you, and I want to definitely give praise to you, you know, definitely the ancestors on your lineage for being a part of that, for paving the way for us. So I appreciate that. Your migration to L.A., I guess it's a simple story to say, oh, I went to school, but talk a little bit about the transition going from Cleveland to L.A., just a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, you know, Cleveland is this northeastern city in the part of the country, and it gets real cold in the winter. But I think the reason that I left as a much younger person is because the society felt entrenched. And at that time, it felt like you had to be from a particular family or, you know, or particular, for lack of a better word, almost like a caste. And I felt at that time coming to California and Los Angeles in particular, it was wide open, and that, you know, I could come here and be what I wanted to be as long as I was willing to work hard and to work for it. And, you know, while, it, you know, everything, nothing comes easy no matter where you are, I still hold that belief about Los Angeles. You know, that you can work hard and, you know, make inroads. And sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it takes longer than you expect or you hope. But I still believe it's possible. Not only that,
was it much of a Was it much of a culture shock? Was it a culture shock coming from Cleveland going into LA? Because I, as a kid, for me, I was born in 74, and I spent pretty much my childhood summers in LA, in Venice. And, you know, my first, you know, seeing a Latino kid and you know, in these areas just all together playing and things like that, that was an experience for me, even as a 6-7 year old kid. Was that something, I mean, being a, you know, older, you know, moving out there, was that much of a kind of a same similarities there?
Yeah, I would say so. I think when I moved here, I was 19. And yeah, you're right. The diversity here, while it's changed across the country now, but at that time, coming here, this was so diverse. And a really strange thing is that I started speaking Spanish and learning Spanish back in Ohio. And I started learning in the ninth grade. Because we were in Ohio, a lot of the kids wanted to go to the Ivy League school, so at that time they would study French and Latin. Instead, I studied Spanish, and then when I came to California, to Los Angeles, that was perfect, and then I was able to, you know, speak Spanish on a daily basis, which I was very happy about. And that's because of the diversity of the population and you know, who was here. And so culture shock, I don't know if it was a shock. It was exciting because it expanded my worldview, I think, from that standpoint, you know?
I totally agree. I think that's, you know, coming from a little town in southwest Arkansas, northeast Texas, you know, it kind of seems to me, you know, it was a lot of conservative values and things like that. And, and you always want to kind of keep a traditionalist mindset. But the beauty of it was I was able to go to Chicago. My aunt lived in Chicago. I had family in D.C., and everyone on my dad's side was in L.A. So I was able, even at a young age, to be able to kind of have these world views kind of embedded in me, you know, whether you want to call it progressive or whatever, you know, it was just, to me, instilled in me. And I think that's a beautiful thing, you know, just kind of get out of that. To me, what a lot of folks felt like that was a comfort zone for them, especially being in these smaller conservative towns. Being able to be out in L.A. and being able to live out in L.A. But, again, this is about you. This ain't about me. You guys, again,
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I get what you're saying. But the thing that's great about Los Angeles, and if you apply it in the political ecosystem, the thing that's great about this place is we're constantly being replenished with new perspectives and new people and people we had never expected to encounter, which I think is fantastic. So, you know, I always kind of smile when people say something like, well, I was born and bred here, because most of the people that you encounter here have not been born or were born here. A lot of people have come from somewhere else, but they've stayed here. And like me, I mean, I consider myself, I mean, I've been here for like 40 plus years. I've been here longer than I was where I was raised. So, you know, I think that I qualify as being a Los Angelian or a Californian, if you will. You know, I still have a fondness for my family, and I love them very much. And my parents are both buried in Ohio. But, you know, so you never lose that. You never forget where you came from, and you bring those lessons with you. And I think that's what makes Los Angeles interesting, is because we do have a lot of people who brought a lot of different perspectives here.
And again, we're going to get into, you know, the congressional thing and whatnot, because a lot of people, again, you have a fascinating story. And guys, you're listening to Solar Records Radio, of course. I am your host, Don Fleming. Of course, we're hanging out with former U.S. Councilwoman, L.A. Councilwoman, Ms. Jan Perry, because she is running for U.S. Congress. Wanted to talk to her just a little bit about herself and things like that. So want to kind of transition just a little bit, because you talked a little bit about, you know, what was your passion, your parents, you know, kind of commit you into public service. Once you got settled in L.A., what was, like, that first public servant position? Talk a little bit about that and how you were able to kind of build your brand, please.
Well, I wasn't even building my brand. I just wanted something to do, and I wanted to be useful. So the first thing I did was go to a group on campus called the Joint Educational Project, And it's a campus activity at USC, and they work with neighborhood schools. And basically, at that time, although they're much more expansive now, basically I would go and help kids do their homework across the street at the elementary school. And, you know, that was my activity. That's what I wanted to do. And then I remember hearing about this famous man, and his name was Tom Bradley, and he was running for mayor of the city of Los Angeles, and I think it was the second time mm-hmm. that he ran. So I volunteered on his campaign, and it was really, really amazing and exciting. And I remember when I first saw him and met him and, you know, heard him speak, and, you know, it's like I'll never forget. It was an amazing time.
And of course, Tom Bradley, you know, if not mistaken, the first black mayor of Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he was the first black mayor of Los Angeles.
And, of course, L.A., to me, L.A. is what you may call this melting pot of mm-hmm. ideals and different backgrounds and nationalities. And of course, mm-hmm. being on a school council myself and things like that, and mm-hmm. being in a fraternity, and once I got to college and being able to get people voter
right.
registration and things like that, those things to me were essential to building that democracy, as far as building a,
exactly.
Building this coalition of people, and again, different philosophies and things like that, but we can work together
mm-hmm.
to kind of, to reach a common goal. And I think that was beautiful
for the common good.
Before we get into it again, I just want to kind of transition also into being an LA City Councilwoman. How did that come about? And talk a little bit about that, too.
Well, I'd worked for four elected officials before I ran for office myself, and term limits had been adopted by the city of Los Angeles. And some of the senior citizens in the district in which I had served as chief of staff said, "Why don't you run?" Because my boss at the time was going to term out. So, I was able to speak both in Spanish and English, and I walked door to door. And, I already knew all the issues because I've always been very community oriented, and I just worked mm-hmm. really hard. And I won, and I went on to serve 12 years. And my only focus was to always meet people's needs and then build for the future. And a couple of interesting things I did in the district is, in South LA, I built a man-made wetlands at Slauson and Compton, and a second man-made
yes.
wetlands at 54th and Avalon. I just want to tell you this beautiful story because I wanted to make sure
Please.
That the kids and the families had a place to relax and, to see nature in the middle of South LA, because there's so much concrete and it's so, not enough trees and all that. So one day I'm driving down 54th Street and I look over into the wetlands. There was a flock of white pelicans in South Los Angeles. Actually, the park people gave me some of the photos so that I knew that I wasn't, hallucinating. But I was so happy. And as a congresswoman, those are the kinds of projects that I want to fund and continue to expand, because I think that not only is it a climate crisis issue and we have to cool down areas like South L.A., it's also a water management and water reclamation issue, and also to build up the infrastructure in a community which is really, really old. I mean, South L.A. was the first part of Los Angeles. That's Los Angeles started east and south and went westward.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a lot to do, but I feel like it's made a better quality of life for people, and I think that's the thing that drives me more than anything. That's my passion.
And that's one of the fascinating stories I wanted to get into, as far as just to be this environmentalist or, conservationist, as far
mm-hmm.
as, people talk about L.A. and the smog and things like that. But you are a
mm-hmm.
person that's really kind of, just taking action and being more proactive into understanding, we all got to live here at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
and it's a beautiful thing to see, these animals or all of these great wildlife and all of
or
these recreational
park,
things that
you
come.
Know? Yeah.
Exactly.
And just
exactly.
Walk around
again, and that's
and
a part.
Exercise,
And that is a part of your platform. But guys, we want to take a quick a quick music break, but we want to go ahead and get into the nitty gritty before we let you go, because one of the things I love the platform. I love, you know, when you talk about homelessness and mm-hmm. I have a couple of stories about that, but again, this is about you guys. Again, you're listening to Solar Records Radio. Of course, it is a special Wednesday edition of Old School Monday with your host, John mm-hmm. Slim. And of course, I have the Honorable U.S. Congressman, Ms. Jan Perry, is hanging out with us. Going to go ahead and get us some music. This is, of course, you guys remember, this is the lovely Miss Chaka Khan from 1981. I'm still in 1981 for some reason. The name of the song is called What You Gonna Do For Me. You guys keep it locked right here, Solar Records Radio.
Just
You're listening to Soul Art Records Radio. Of course, this is Old School Monday, again, a special Wednesday edition of Old School Monday. Music from New Edition, of course, from their Heartbreak album. That is You're Not My Kind Girl. Still hanging out with me, of course, the Honorable Councilwoman Jan Perry is hanging out with us. How are you? We had a great conversation off the air.
Yeah.
But I want to go ahead and get to the nitty-gritty. Of course, we're talking about you're running for District 37, U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Congress. Talk a little bit about just the fact that, you know, you want to go to Washington. I get that. I think it's very
right.
polarizing now. And I guess before I do that, I want your hot take, because I'm always fascinated to hear people's take, especially those who are running for public office. The polarizing
mm-hmm.
effect of what's going on in Washington has been kind of like that downhill since a lot of people kind of the Tea Party, in my opinion, a lot of folks in the Tea
mm-hmm.
Party did what they did, and then the Trump years and whatnot. Now it's just so polarizing. And now we have a Supreme Court that overturned Roe v. Wade. And I just wanted your take on it. And again, it kind of speaks to a little bit to your platform. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, it does speak to my platform, particularly a woman's right to have agency over her own body and
exactly.
how that impacts other issues of privacy and right to have do what you want to do with your own body and who you want to marry and who you want to love. And so that's why we
mm-hmm.
can't look the other way, even though in California we're relatively safe, but we have to look to these other states because a lot of people who will be in need will come to California for help. And so,
right.
our system has to be prepared to absorb the impact of that, of women who will need to exercise their reproductive rights and their reproductive health pursuits here in California instead. So we need to buffer ourselves, get ready for that, and to make sure that not only can we take care of the people who are here, but people who may be coming from other states. So that in terms of polarization, you know, look, we've been down this road before. I mean, I think back about when, you know, I was younger, much younger, watching my parents go through the same thing, the thing that's chilling. And I remember there was one time in my life I actually saw my dad cry, and that was when Martin Luther King was assassinated. We're, you know, watching the television on the kitchen counter, and he was this big, strong man, and, you know, he started to cry. And, you know, the country was going up in flames, and people were hurt and devastated. And, you know, we had already lost John Kennedy, and then Robert, and then Martin Luther King, and Medgar Evers, and, you know, the list is way too long to even start again.
Yes.
But if you know your history and you see the elements of what is happening, that a white supremacist group would have the confidence to stroll down a main street in the city of Boston in broad daylight, you know that we're in a fragile state and that we need to push back on this. And while I don't know that I believe that we can change hearts and minds to the extent that we can make people stop thinking that way, but I think we can get things back to the way where people, you know, keep themselves in check to a certain extent so that people can feel safe, that people can be in their communities and not live in fear, you know, because quite frankly, Trump unleashed the opportunity for people who have these beliefs to feel comfortable to bring them back out into the light.
Normalize
it. That they
yeah.
had a willing partner. I think January 6th was, you know, the manifestation of that.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate manifestation of that, because he was the one who spoke to them before they went to the Capitol and did what they did. So, you know, we've got to push things in the other direction. And also legislatively.
Yes, and I totally believe that, and I think, you know, I love the fact that you are very passionate. I can tell you're definitely genuine about what you believe in, because another one of your platforms that you do want to emphasize on is housing. You know, everyone talks about California. California kind of gets this bad rep when it comes to, you know, homelessness and things like that. Talk a little bit about your plans and at least to try to remedy this situation.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't want to wait around for people to pontificate and come up with solutions that don't actually bring more affordable housing online. I mean, there's two schools of thought. Some of them are that, oh, you just build more housing and it's going to make things more affordable. Well, that hasn't happened. We have a lot of communities, particularly in the 37th District, where, you know, families acquire their properties because their father or grandfather was able to acquire it with the GI Bill. And a lot of people came out here, and if you ever read Isabel Wilkerson's book, The Warmth of Other Suns, and it talks about families migrating, African-American families migrating from the southern states and from the midwestern states, you know, to come to places like California and Los Angeles because there was a lot of work in the defense industry and, you know, to be a teacher or to work in the postal system. And so, you know, folks were able to provide a very good middle-class life for their families, children, and grandchildren, and a lot of the kids went to college and became, you know, professionals. And, you know, these grandparents and parents want to be able to pass the equity down that they were able to accrue in their own properties, because actually that's the best way for people of color to build intergenerational wealth. And it's one of the most traditional and reliable ways to do that. And so to the extent that I can continue to encourage that, and, you know, that means also building housing that's affordable and not necessarily destroying the fabric of a neighborhood, because I don't think you need to do that. I built 5,670 units of affordable housing over 12 years by working with nonprofit developers to build this type of housing. And so I know it can be done, and you know, the politics of polarization don't need to take place here. It doesn't need to be either you build affordable housing or you don't. I think you can incorporate all kinds of housing in a community. You just have to be wise and intelligent about where you site it.
Mm.
So that people welcome it.
I think that's amazing. I totally agree with that. And you also touched a little bit earlier about, you know, your wetlands project and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it was something that deals with also, for those who are just tuning in, guys, again, you're listening to Solar Records Radio. Of course, we're doing a special Wednesday edition of Old School Monday. Of course, we have the Honorable Ms. Jan Perry hanging out with us, talking about her platform. Mm-hmm. She's running for the 37th district in U.S. Congress in California. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the wetland. We touched a little bit about you know, the Jan Perry wetlands and talk a little bit about how green jobs, when you talk about green jobs and things like that, and how, you know, we can able to be job creators in this, to me, in this apparatus. Talk a little bit about that, too, because I remember in an interview that you had mentioned about it. And please, the floor is yours.
Yes, well, you know, I mean, I remember I go to block clubs in South L.A., come out at night, and especially pretty far south, there would be fog and there would be these birds from the ocean all the way in South L.A., and I was thinking, you know, why would they come this far inland? And then I look at the history of South Los Angeles, and, you know, there was a river, the Los Angeles River or the Zanja Madre, and, you know, that was the main river source, and there were orange groves, and it was farmland, and so it made sense that the birds would come in, and so I wanted to build on that because we have a climate crisis, and South L.A. has a lot of cement, not enough trees, and a lot of truck traffic, and so I wanted to do what I could to give people a chance to have better management of the water, groundwater, and have green space and a place to relax and, you know, to release stress. So first thing I did when I was elected is go ahead and put a man-made wetlands inside of an existing park at Slauson and Compton. It happens to be named after Augustus Hawkins. And there are herons, egrets, and turtles, all kinds of things, all kinds of animals living in there. And it's a passive park, so, you know, somebody can take a stroller in there and push the stroller and walk around. And, you know, it's a little hilly, so it blocks out the street noise. And I loved it so much, then I found another piece of property at 54th and San Pedro, which is also in South L.A., and it's a bigger property. It used to be a bus yard, and it's a 10-acre wetlands, and it manages, you know, urban runoff, and it protects the water table below. But the funny thing is, and I was telling you this when we were on break, I was driving by there, and that one is named after me. It's called the Jan Perry Wetlands, even though the sign's been removed by vandals. Driving down the street, and I look over, and I saw a flock of pelicans, white pelicans, at 54th and San Pedro, or 54th and Avalon. And apparently they flew over to Slauson and Compton, too. So one of my dreams or visions for South L.A. is to create that beautiful sort of water necklace, if you will, or green necklace, cutting across South L.A., building on the parks that we have, and then connecting park space so that people can have more peace in their lives and a place of refuge. And we can take care of the environment. And while we take care of the environment, we can create the jobs that we need to create to be able to build on that. Those
That's
are the
awesome.
Jobs.
Again, those things, these things aren't far-fetched, in my opinion.
No,
I
not
feel
at
like
all.
I'm putting my propaganda in. But no, I think it's a good thing to do, because a lot of people, again, we only have, as corny as this may sound, we only have one planet. We all got to live together on
right.
it. And I think, right. you know, and it takes each and every one of us to understand, again, we have to live together. And it's
right.
amazing that what you're doing. And again, my hats off to you. And we were talking off the air, and I say this, I try not to say this with vanity. You got some pretty powerful endorsements too. You know, you got we call her Auntie Maxine. You know, you got Miss Maxine Waters, of course, U.S. Congresswoman right now in L.A. Of course, you got the Honorable Bernard Parks. You got Valerie Shaw, all of these, you know, Mayor Culver City. You got all of these great endorsements. And again, just talk a little bit about that. Did that seem like a crazy question, but did it seem much like a boost for you? And also, to me, it just that to have someone like Maxine Waters on your, you know, in your corner. How does that feel?
Well, she is a powerful presence, and I think what I really love about her is she is so authentic, and she's so real, and she's hands-on, and she has a deep love for people and community. And then many times when I'm out, she's there way before anybody else, and she always was. And so I consider her a role model, so I have to re-up with Auntie Maxine. Bernard Parks has had an extraordinary career, you know, from a young police officer to the chief of police to a council member. I think he put in over 53 years of public service. And so, you know, I was always able to turn to him for wise counsel and guidance. Plus, he's an incredible father, husband, all those things. Just a role model. I think he's on the Walk of Fame in Atlanta, in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. And then I've gotten some new endorsements, a national group called Common Good. And if you go to the website, you'll see me there just below Ted Lieu. This former county supervisor Gloria Molina endorsed me. I've been endorsed by the current city controller, Ron Galperin, and the former city controllers, Laura Chick and Rick Tuttle. So that's kind of fun. It's just exciting. And then lots of endorsements. I think three former mayors from Culver City. Culver City is also in the district. And Jeff Cooper and Jim Clark, and one of the first female mayors in Culver City. And I just continue to go forward. One thing, piece of advice that Congresswoman Maxine gave me, she said, show the people that you have community support. So if you go to my website at janperry.com, you're going to see a lot of community endorsements. And while I'm the outsider candidate, I'm the insurgent campaign, so you're not going to see walls of honorable. What you're going to see is a lot of honorable people and a lot of regular folks and community activists and people from the faith-based community and various Democratic clubs. And so I'm really proud of all that.
And I'm so glad that you were able to take the time to hang out. And before we get out of here, and I know you mentioned your website, janperry.com. Of course, janperry.com.
Yeah.
You got all the listeners out there right now listening to the show, whether they're in Buffalo, New York, or Seattle, Washington. They say, you know what? She makes a lot of sense. Where can I? Again, you mentioned it, but we'll go ahead and give you some time to mention it again. They want to donate to you. They want to volunteer or what? Where can they go? Once.
All right. Well, they could go to janperry.com. Just hit that donate button. Or you can go to janperry.com, send me a message through my website, and that's under the section of Contact Us. And then I will answer you. People are always shocked when I call them and they say, is that really you? And I'm always shocked that they ask that question because I'm running to be your representative. Why wouldn't I call you? So I don't understand. I guess people have been abused. But, yeah, I call everybody back.
Good. It's just that conventional wisdom that is, it's the conventional wisdom of those that you can't be touched. She's untouchable. You got to go through six staff members to even try to, get an email from you. No, it's very authentic. It's very genuine. I really appreciate you. Well, again, Councilwoman Perry, thank you so much again for taking the time out of
your
schedule to hang out with us. Before we go, any final words, any final thoughts, getting people out there to vote, voting day, election day is the midterms. Go ahead.
It's the midterms. People are frustrated. People are anxious. We're, coming out of COVID and trying to recover. Kids are going back to school. We've got a lot on our plate. But I want to be able to work with families, everyone's family, and get us back on a pathway that moves us forward. And I want to build a district and a city that, millennials will be able to one day move out of their parents' houses and be able to have their own place and maybe, be able to buy something one day and to have a job with benefits, a full-time job. The world's changing at a very rapid pace, and we have to continue to evolve with it, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, which is running for the 37th Congressional District. So join me at janperry.com.
janperry.com. Again, Councilwoman, it was definitely a pleasure to hang out with you and bless the phone lines
with
all the listeners out there. Please come back. Please. I got your number now. So I'm about to.
I know. I mean, I'd love
to come
thank back.
You so much. Well, hey, it's definitely an honor. It's definitely a pleasure. You take care. Thank you guys
all
for listening and taking care of the show. All right. Guys, you're listening to Solar Records Radio. Of course, it is a special Wednesday edition, Old School Monday. Don Fleming, of course, we had the Honorable Councilwoman, Ms. Jan Perry, hanging out with us. Of course, definitely got to get her to Washington, man. That's just what I'm just keeping it real, you know? I'm just keeping it real. Let's go ahead and get back to some music, take you back to the year 1977. Of course, one of my all-time favorite roller skating jams. This is music from Odyssey. Name of the song is called Native New Yorker. Guys, keep it locked right here. Solar Records Radio.
Got no food. on the left hand side, it's a go bong.
Give me the music, make me jump from front.
It's a go dong.
Give me the music, make me looking at the dong. Dong bong, 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 bong,
bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong,
bong, bong, bong, bong,
bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong,
bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong, bong,
bong, bong, bong, bong, session was there in
swing. How does it feel when you got no food?
I used to feel the chill as I seen and heard them sing.
How does it feel when you got no food?
Pass the touchy on the left hand side. Pass the touchy on the left hand side. It's a go bong.
Give me the music, make me jump from front.
It's a go dong.
Give me the music, make me jump in and the dong. Come and say listen to the drum, and me say listen to the bass.
Chip on the left hand side, pass the touchy on the left hand side. It's a go bong.
Give me the music, make me jump from front.
It's a go dong.
Give me the music, make me rockin' at the dong. You play it on the radio, and so me say we a go hear it on the stereo. And so me know we a go play it on the disco. And so me say we a go hear it on the stereo.
Oh. Pass the touchy on the left hand side. Chip on the left hand side, it's a go bong.
Give me the music, make me jump from front.
It's a go dong.
Give me the music, make me jump in the dong.
On the left hand side. 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 On the left hand side.
Side. This is gonna really mess me up. I'm trying to the east, the west, and the
of his favorite song. Don't call me when your shower just went. No baby, don't call me. I think I told you this about a million times. You know what's hot? My cup of tea. I can rock it to you. The only thing I can do. I can rock it all night.
Hey! Rock it.
I can rock it to you, baby. Let me rock it to you.
You're listening to Solo Records Radio, of course, this Old School Monday on a Wednesday. It's music from the Jets from 1988. Of course, we had the Jets. We had two of the Wolfgram brothers on the show a few months back. Of course, we had, of course, the brother who sung that song, Heine. We had Heine Wolfgram on, and we had Leroy Wolfgram. What an amazing brothers, group of brothers, man. And just a whole family. The Wolfgram family is like 80 of them, but I love them to death, man. Shout out to Rudy. By the way, we called Rudy to get the show, get it set up to, you know, for us to talk to them. So, again, shout out to the Wolfgram brothers. Definitely, and I want to send a shout out to also to Elizabeth. I had the biggest crush on Elizabeth Wolfgram. Of course, she was the, quote-unquote, lead singer of the Jets. She was just amazing. At the time, she was like, what, 13, 14 years old. I was 12. It would have worked out, you know. But she had this grown voice. You know, when you listen to You Got It All, or you listen to, what's the other one? God, what's the song? It's at the tip of my tongue. But the other slow jam that they did, you know, it's like, I love you. You made me feel the same. I'm not trying to sing it. No, not at all. Hey, before that, it was going to the block. What I played before that, of course, had to hook up a little musical youth, Past the Dutchie from 1982, not to be confused with Past the Coochie. Coochie is, you know, that herb that, you know, a lot of people are being, it's being legalized now. Dutchie is like a cooking pipe. That's the way they explained it on those interviews, musical youth interviews back in the day. So, you know, we're like, okay, sure. Yeah, that'll work. We can do that. And, of course, the first song we played, I started off the block with Odyssey, native New Yorker from 1977. Again, still a roller skating jam today. We got an hour left of the show, so I got plenty of time to jam with you. What is this? And first of all, amazing, amazing woman we had on the show. Of course, the Honorable former U.S. Councilwoman Jan Perry. She is running for the 37th congressional seat of California, U.S. Congress. Of course, definitely, if you are supportive of her her platform, go to janperry.com, www.janperry.com. and donate. You can check out the contacts if you want. If you're in LA or you're in the area and you want to physically contribute as far as being on, you know, we call, I don't know what you call it, street team, but if you want to, you know, canvas and, you know, just work on her campaign, please, by all means, go to janperry.com. Definitely got to send her to Washington. Hey, I'm just keeping it real. So, let's go ahead and keep this music going. Big fan. I was on a Babyface rabbit hole kick. Anything that was Babyface back in the day, I was Babyface, After Seven. And so I'm going to dedicate this block to all things babyface or babyface related. So let's go ahead and start this block off with a classic from 1990, music from After Seven. It's called Can't Stop. Guys, keep it locked right here, Solar Records Radio.
First time. get a girl. Seeing by me,
listening to Solo Records Radio, of course, what you just heard, 1983 music from The Deal. Yes, it's called Body Talk. Of course, that was my babyface block right there. Of course, before that, the man himself from the Tender Lover album, that is the title song, Tender Lover, from 1989. Of course, started off the block 1990, Can't Stop, from the group After Seven. Of course, they consisted of Babyface's two brothers, Kevin, and of course Melvin, rest in peace. Can't Stop, that was a remix to Can't Stop. I gotta find it. I love that jam, man. But I love the regular version. I love the album version of Can't Stop. But that is a remix. You know, in '90s, it was all about remixes. There was a radio remix. There was a remix with a rapper on it. It was all of these different remixes. And then, you know, we're not even talking about Puff Daddy. We're not even talking about his remixes. He came in the game. You know, he remixed everything going into the mid to late 90s. But, no, this was right before. This was pre-Puffy remixing, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s. So, but, yeah, we got about another 45 minutes left of the show. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. A special Wednesday edition of Old School Monday. I really appreciate you guys tuning in, hanging out with me. Tell a friend if you're on Facebook, like the page, Solar Records Radio. Tell a friend to like the page. You know how it goes. And also, if you want to go to the website or donate to the website or support the website, go to solarrecordsradio.com or wardellpottsjr.com, and you can click on the donate button. And also want to remind you, we have a Cash App, $ Solar Records Radio. All one big word. One big word. All together. It's no Solar Space, Record Space, Radio. It's all one word. So just want to make that clear to all the people out there, you know. Anyway, but I want to thank you guys for tuning in again. And speaking of thanking you guys, it's a perfect segue for this young lady, the lovely Miss Alicia Myers. I want to thank you. Keep it locked right here to Solar Records Radio.
Love.
takes so long to come to me. Oh, baby. And love, love, your love. Tell me, were you hiding from me all the time? Each time I tried to find someone to take your place, it was all in vain. No, their lips were never quite the same. No, baby, when I was kissed and someone knew deep inside I was missing you. Oh, baby, you made me fall in love with you. Now I don't know just what I'm gonna do.
Church on Sunday morning, Grandma's hand played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hand used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast, might fall on a piece of glass, might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hand. Unwed mother, Grandma's hand used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hand used to lift her face and tell her, she'd say, baby, Grandma, understand that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands, Grandma's hand. Candy, Grandma's hand pick me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy, what you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core, but I don't have Grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for Grandma's hand.
Grandma's Hands, of course, that is from 1971, early 1972, from Bill Withers. Of course, rest in peace to Bill Withers, man. Big, big, big Bill Withers fan. And I love that song, Grandma. Okay. Can't help but think about my grandmother. You know, when you listen to that song, it just takes you to that moment where you're thinking about your own grandmother. And my grandmother's hands were, you know, she used to have, you know, her hands had arthritis, and it used to, you know, used to hurt her a lot. Used to be sore, and, you know, just rub her hand, you know, and in water and Epsom salt, I'd rub it for her. Come and rub my hands for me. So I'd go down, I'd go into the room, and, you know, well, she kept that pistol between the mattresses and the Kentucky bourbon under the bed, reach under and get the Epsom salt. it just brings back these type of memories that you know, you never want to get away from. And again, this song to me captures those moments, those trigger moments for me. So, but man, hopefully you have a good memory of your grandmother. I have just a wonderful memory of my grandmother. And those big hands used to knock me out. Well, knock my hind parts out, I'll say that. Those, you know, I did my dirt when I was little, you know. It's traumatic, but no, I miss that woman as the day goes by. And this song is, again, one of those songs that kind of just capture, you know, the essence of growing up. Of course, before that, Donny Hathaway, the late, great Donny Hathaway from 1973, the Extension of a Man album, Love, 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 and I love, love, love that song. As corny as that is, as corny as me saying that, not the song. But I had to add my corniness to Love, Love, Love. Of course, that is Donny Hathaway. Of course, started off the block, the lovely Miss Alicia Myers, of course, from One Way, Al Hudson in One Way. And that was her solo album from 81. I want to thank you. Very inspirational song. And I had to hook that up. I definitely had to hook that up. Got about another 32 minutes left to go. You know, we're past the hump. Got a little time left to hang out with you again. Thank you so much for tuning in on a special Wednesday edition. The reason why I say it's not really Thursday, because I'm doing Throwback Thursday on a Thursday. So it's not really Throwback Thursday on a Wednesday, because I'll be back tomorrow from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time playing old school R&B funk. And so I wanted to do it today because I had, of course, the Honorable Jan Perry running for U.S. Congress, again, District 37. Congressional District 37 in California. She is running to win the seat, going to Washington. And it is what it is, and I love that. I love that. I love her platform, love her website. Once again, for those who are just tuning in, go to janperry.com, check it out, read the bio, read all of her platform and what she stands for. And it's just, again, it's just amazing. Amazing platform and an amazing story, an amazing journey, being a Clevelander and being in L.A. for over 40 years, doing what she's done, dedicated herself to public service. Just again, just an amazing and brilliant woman, just hands down. So, but anyway, keep this music going. Music from Albie Schumer. It's called Night and Day, his signature song. Guys, keep it locked right here at Solar Records Radio.
Just relax in my arms and stay.
Kenny Burke, the name of the song is called One Minute More. I had to hook that up. Of course, before that, Osley Brothers, man. Osley Brothers, Voyage to Atlantis, 1977 classic. It's like you're taking a trip. When you're listening to that song, and I'm not trying to be hyperbolic about it, but it's like when you close your eyes, it's like you're floating. Just keeping it real. It's just, you're on a voyage to Atlantis. That's the name of the song. I had to hook that up. That was one of my favorite Osley Brothers jams. One of my favorite slow jams of all time. Of course, again, from 1977, Voyage to Atlantis. I think from the album Go For Your Guns, if I'm not mistaken. And also started off the block, I'll Be Sure, 1988 classic, Night and Day. Got about another 17 minutes left. Again, almost done. We're almost done. But thank you, Si. Thank you to all the listeners for hanging out. And I can't do it. Can't close this show or can't be down the stretch of this show without my partner, Wood L. Potts Jr. is hanging out from church service. He's got a little time to hang out with me and talk to me. What's up, man?
Hey, so great interview today. That was so good, and I had a chance to peek in and listen. I just clicked on the link and was listening to the show, and in between, my rehearsal and the Bible study class for the kids. So, but it was great, man. I'm getting ready to go into rehearsal in a minute, but I just want to call in and say, great job, and thank you for blessing us all.
Well, man, I appreciate you listening to the show. And for all those who are listening to the show, again, thank you so much. And it was just a pleasure to just get a chance to just talk to someone that's running for office that shares your same, shares your beliefs, just flat out, not like these crazy Muppets in Washington right now that we got a couple. I mean, we definitely got to get her up in there, because it is so polarizing right now. Just a lot of the things I wanted to touch on, but didn't really get a chance to. But I didn't really want to just go into all of that. But we had a great talk off the air about some of the things that was going on. She did touch on January 6th and how she felt about it, and as just how she wants to represent the people. And again, to those who are listening, I got a chance, just tuning in, I got a chance to talk to, of course, she's a U.S. Congress hopeful from the 37th Congressional District in California, former L.A. Councilwoman, Ms. Jan Perry. You can go to janperry.com if you want to know a little bit more about her and know about her platform and whatnot. It was just a great, time talking to her in the first hour, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that was great, and thank you for doing that. And, I like to have, people that are involved in politics on both sides calling, but decent people, not people that are, extremists. I just love when people are talking about bettering the country for the people in the country to be able to share their views. So it doesn't matter to me. I'm apolitical, so it doesn't matter to me whether you're Republican or Democrat, as long as you are a decent person and you're not coming on saying crazy things. We would love to hear, your point of view. So it would be a great opportunity for everyone to be able to hear your point of view. but we're not trying to do those extreme things because it's not healthy conversation for anyone, not even for you. So, but thanks, Don. I really appreciate you, man. That was awesome. I mean, I was so proud of you when you were talking. I was like, that's my little brother. You sound like you could be on TV doing it. I was so proud listening to you interviewing her. I was like, wow, he don't even know I'm here. That was the good part. And so, but also
this is the good part, huh?
Yeah. And then and I want to thank the listeners, too, you know, for tuning in and stuff. And so we have to give, you know, other people the opportunity to, you know, to come on as well and share their, you know, like, what they do. Like the other lady, what was the other lady you had on that was running?
Oh, I had a young lady, a colleague of mine, yeah, a young lady who is now the Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate in Arkansas. She's going against John Bozeman in the midterms,
the
name Natalie James. Natalie James, of course, definitely got to get her back on soon. There's a lot of congressional and especially senatorial candidates that may shift the political shift this year, of course, this midterm in November, because, you know, a lot of people, we talked about Roe v. Wade, we talked about, you know, a lot of that, you know, what the Supreme Court has done with Roe v. Wade, and the fact that that's ticked off a lot of people. And it's galvanized a lot of people. So right now, we just heard that in Florida, Congresswoman Val Demings, who's running for U.S. Senate, of course, a sister, been chief of police in Orlando. She was a social worker. She's in Congress. She's ahead in the polls against Marco Rubio.
Really?
You have a sister. Like you have Sherry Beasley in North Carolina, you have Mandela Barnes in Wisconsin, who's poised to beat Ron Johnson, who is an extreme. Yes, I'm going to say the R word, racist. You have Charles Booker in Kentucky. You know, a lot of people just don't know as far as his chances, but. You know, you've got to get that brother to support down in Kentucky. He's going against Rand Paul, and you know how crazy he is. I mean, and so there's a lot of congressional hopefuls. You have, of course, you have Herschel Walker against Raphael Warnock in Georgia. You have some extremists. I forgot the guy's name, but he's running against astronaut Mark Kelly in Arizona. So a lot of things are going on. This is a midterm. Usually in midterms, when the president, whatever party the president's in, usually the midterms, you know, the opposite party takes over. So because we have a Democratic president, the conventional wisdom is that we're going to get a Republican House and Senate. But I think the overreach was Roe v. Wade. And you know, and now you have this whole thing with critical race theory and all of these boogeymen, just all of these topics and things like that. So it's galvanizing a lot of people to go out there and vote, and you know, the whole voter suppression issues and things like that. So hopefully in the midterms we'll be able to. And again, and I feel like I'm sounding as a Democrat. No. I'm trying to bring common sense back into politics right now, because right now the two-party system has been so outrageously corrupt, both of them. And if you put some decent people in there, you know, that are for the people, who are true public servants for their people, then I'm all for it. You know, all of this extremist stuff, you know, whether it's trying to suppress votes, it's trying to gerrymander, you know, these districts to where a lot of folks who marginalize people don't have these voices in these states. They're doing a lot of that, and they're using the Supreme Court as this fodder for pursuing these rulings. So, again, it's it's an important midterm, and I'm going to be out there voting just like the next person. So I urge you guys to vote if you like, again, if you like what Congresswoman Perry is talking about. Again, hear all the sides of it. Hear her opponents and whatnot. Listen to them. But just go to janperry.com and check it out. And you know, you can call the show, let me know what you think, or you can let me know what you think about it on Solar Records Radio page on Facebook. So I'd love to hear from you.
That's awesome. And don't forget, guys, tomorrow, Throwback Thursday on Solar Records Radio, we have Triple Threat, Wardell Potts, Don Fleming, and Goldie Mac. So, you know, we're going to have a good time tomorrow. So let's go down memory lane together. And thank you again, Don, for a wonderful evening hanging out with you. Appreciate you.
Man, it's been a pleasure. Been a pleasure to do this special Wednesday edition of Old School Monday. I didn't want to call it Throwback Thursday because it's like, wait a minute, Thursday ain't here yet. So, and I'm going to do the show tomorrow. So it's only fair. But, hey, man, thank you so much for calling in and hanging out with me, man. We're going to go ahead and close the show out again. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Closing it out.
All right.
With the
good
lovely
night.
Miss. Good night. We'll close it out with the lovely Miss Tina Marie. Of course, this is I Need Your Lovin' for Wardell Potts Jr. I'm Don Fleming. Have a safe rest of your Wednesday night. Get back to church, bro. It's all good. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm out. Thank you. See you later.
Bye-bye,
guys.
Have a good one. Mm-hmm.